Now, time to check in with the Friday Night Lights and Chicago Radio's only prep football scores, stats, and stories program on 720 WGN. This is Preps Plus Chicago with your host, Sam Panionovich.
This is Preps Plus Chicago, but I am not Sam Panionovich. Sammy's out on assignment somewhere, I believe a wedding. I'm sure he's tearing up the dance floor right now. Have fun, Sammy P. This is Preps Plus, the final Preps Plus show of the year. Thank you for listening all season long. We give you all the high school scores and updates throughout the state, and it's finally here. The state title games, four of them being played yesterday. Those games are final. Actually, seven of the eight are final. Loyola and Maine South just underway. That's the game everybody's been talking about. Two classics. Loyola going a 30-game winning streak right now. They're going for their second straight 8A title. Maine South seems like they're always there. The Hawks are always there. They're one of the best programs throughout the state. These are two teams that have met in the postseason numerous times. So I think a lot of people looking forward to that game. A couple of high-powered offenses as well. Let's run through all these state championship games, the ones that have gone final so far. In 1A, Forreston over Decatur, 35-7. In 2A, DMAC over Maroa Forsyth. And by the way, I watched, I think, about 95 to 100% of that game. And one of the players I enjoyed watching most this weekend, Jared Reese of DMAC. He's sort of an old-school bruising-type fullback. Tore it up for them. 30 rushes, 139 yards, three touchdowns, leading them to their state title. That was a fun game. IC Catholic completing the perfect season in 3A. They won 43-0 to take home the crown. Rochester, another staple in 4A. They took another title, 38-14 win in 4A. 5A, Peoria over Vernon Hill, 62-48 to take the championship. In 6A, Prairie Ridge, the boys from Crystal Lake over Sacred Heart Griffin, another powerhouse, 48-17. And then in 7A, just final, East St. Louis over Plainfield North, 26-13. Now, I'm interested if there's any Fenwick Friars out there listening and what sort of emotions they were feeling watching that game. 312-981-7200, you can call or text. Or just watching from afar, even if you're not part of the Fenwick family. That's a game, of course, that had a lot of buzz because of the controversial calls last weekend. It's Fenwick Plainfield North. Fenwick's trying to run the clock out. There's 4 seconds ticking down. They're up by three. To kill some time, Fenwick decides, okay, we're going to have our quarterback drop back, heave a long one. By the time the ball comes down, the game will be over and we'll be headed to state. Problem is, the officials call intentional grounding. Can't do that, Fenwick. The IHSA rule states that the game should have been over there. It's as simple as that. The officials decide to give Plainfield North an untimed down, which they don't do in high school football here in the state of Illinois. Plainfield North gets an extra play, untimed down. They kick a field goal, send it to overtime, and then they end up beating Fenwick in overtime. They score a touchdown, go for two, and they get it. I think a lot of a wide range of emotions for the Fenwick Friar faithful. You got a feel for them. That was a game they had won. A bad call by the officials. It should have never happened. Plainfield North could have even said something too at the end of the game. They could have said, you know what, this isn't right. Fenwick won this. They get the extra play. They took advantage of it. Got to give them credit. But were Fenwick Friar fans rooting against Plainfield North? Were they not even watching the game? What are your thoughts on that whole situation? 312-981-7200. A wide range of emotions for Fenwick. You got to really, really feel for them. This is Preps Plus Chicago. Again, I'm Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich. Not in today, but our final episode of the season, final show of the season, as we recap the state championships. Seven of the eight are final. Loyola and Maine South just underway from Champaign. That's the final game over the past 2 days. And two powerhouses in 8A. Loyola, again, going for their second straight title. Maine South looking for their first title since 2011. But here's what we're going to do. It's sort of a mix of a Preps Plus show, and we're going to kind of move up the ranks here. We'll start with high school right now, and then when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a game that was played today in Ohio that I think was one of the best college football games I've ever seen. It really was. I mean, it had it all. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. I want to get your thoughts on it. 312-981-7200. If you agree with me, the Michigan-Ohio State, the game today, if you think that's one of the greatest games ever played, because I do. I think it had it all. It had all the theatrics. had all the big stars, the big name coaches, an unforgettable game. I don't think anybody was leaving the set, their TVs, because you had to watch it all. It was an intense game, and it was a fun one. After the college football talk, we'll also talk a little bit about some Notre Dame stuff, little nuggets I have there. Northwestern beat U of I. They're headed to a bowl game. Catterdays are for the Cats. I think that's how it goes, right, Joey? Joey's a U of I guy.
That
Joey behind
right.
the glass producing. Thank you, Gelmanator. Appreciate you being here. After the news, we'll move up to the NFL. We'll talk to Tony Andracki of CSN Chicago. Talk a little Bears. Got some thoughts on the Bears, as I know many of you do as well. A frustrating season. In some ways, feels like a lost season. I don't know. A whole lot was gained, really, between the injuries and poor coaching. Were young guys even developed? How much progress was made there? So a little high school, a little college, and a little NFL before we hand it over to Judd Surratt at 9 o'clock for Blackhawks Hockey Hill. Of the pregame face-off at 9:30. John Weideman, Troy Murray have the call tonight from L.A. We'll get to all that coming up next on Preps Plus Chicago here on WGN. Gelmanator, playing some party tunes, throwing the jams out there. I love it. This is Preps Plus Chicago, sort of a little different than what we normally do. We're kind of mixing in some preps, a little college football and a little high school. All the state championship games going on this weekend in Champaign, 7 of the 8 final. And we have your first score update in the 8A game. It's Maine South against Loyola, two of the best in the state. Loyola, many consider the best in the state. They took the title last year looking for two straight. They've won 30 straight games. But Maine South, after a couple losses early in the season, have found ways to do it, and they've gotten better. I mean, everybody that's watched them closely says they've gotten better as this season's progressed. It's just what they do at Maine South. They're back in it. They're ahead now. 7-0 over Loyola. They scored a touchdown, 9:38 remaining in the first quarter. We'll keep you updated there, and we'll recap some of these other games throughout the show. But we're going to move up the ranks. It's high school, then college, then we're going to talk a little Bears. We're going to hit all sorts of football here. A lot to talk about. And today, there was a game played in Ohio. The game, they like to call it, between Michigan and Ohio State. And I thought this was one of the best games I've ever watched. Joey, I don't know if you had a chance to watch this game, but it had everything you could possibly want in a college football game. First of all, in college, the stars of the games, the stars of it all, really, are the coaches. The Nick Sabans, Les Miles, now he's out of LSU, but he's been there. He's won it. He's done it. And I am so excited that Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh are on the Big Ten. This is Big Ten country. I love watching a lot of these games. And they were the stars of the game today. Watching them on the sidelines, Jim Harbaugh, I thought he was going to choke out a water boy. He was not a happy camper. And by the way, to recap, Ohio State beat Michigan in double overtime, 30-27. It was a thriller. Top three, top five, I don't know. One of the best college football games I've ever watched, though. And it had the stars in the players. Jabril Peppers for Michigan making plays. He had an interception. JT Barrett stepped up late for Ohio State. He's their quarterback. Michigan with some real dumb turnovers, though. At the goal line. Threw a couple picks. One of them was a pick six. But every play felt big. Every play felt like it mattered. There was tension. You're at the edge of your seat. And they were fighting for it. And then there's a controversial call late in the game. JT Barrett rushing on 4th and 1 from the Michigan 16-yard line. Michigan leading 27-24. Time ticking down. Official signaled he had a first down. They upheld the play after replay. Jim Harbaugh's losing it on the sideline. It was close. I mean, it really was. It was one of those plays where you're like, I think if they had called him short, they wouldn't have been able to overturn it. But because the initial ruling was that he got over the line, they couldn't flip it back. There wasn't enough to overturn the call. Jim Harbaugh had some thoughts after the game.
The officiating, I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today. That spot. The graphic display is the interference penalties. The one not called on us, on Grant Perry, clearly was being hooked before the ball got there. And the previous penalty they called on Delano Hill, the ball is uncatchable and by the receiver. See, I'm bitterly disappointed in the officiating. Can't make that any more clear. It was not, my view of the first down was it was that short.
And when he says that short, he was holding up his hands about a foot apart from each other. Jim Harbaugh is always entertaining to me. I don't mean to laugh at him. It's just he's so intense. I love it, though. I love Jim Harbaugh.
Isn't it fun to have them in the Big Ten, though? Right. You always think of SEC football being that powerhouse. And to have those two guys in the Big Ten, Urban Meyer and Harbaugh, building programs and bringing the Big Ten back to that glory, it's nice to see.
No question.
Because you could have those two teams in the Final Four. That's two Big Ten teams.
Well, here's the Final Four, by the way, could get a little interesting here because neither Ohio State or Michigan are even in the Big Ten championship game.
And which is so odd.
And they're the two best teams in the conference. I mean, look, I know Penn State and Wisconsin will meet in the Big Ten title game next Saturday from Indianapolis, but there's a chance that neither of those teams get in, even if Penn State wins the Big Ten or if Wisconsin does. They still might get skipped over. It could still be Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, and Alabama I'd be perfectly fine with it, though.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's hard to argue that Michigan and Ohio State aren't two of the top four teams in the entire country. I mean, it's a tough break for Penn State or Wisconsin, whoever wins that game in Indianapolis, but man, Michigan and Ohio State right now, I really would love to see one of those two get a crack at Alabama. I really do, because I think both of them would give Alabama a run for their money. Although Alabama is just so steady and so good. They're fun to watch. But this was a game that had it all. It had everything you could want. It had all the drama. It had the playoff implications in it. It had the two coaches who clearly, I wouldn't say they don't like each other, but I don't think Jim Harbaugh is out there to make friends. I don't think Jim Harbaugh really cares about making friends. Jim Harbaugh cares about championships and winning football games, and so does Urban Meyer. But Harbaugh was a little, he was his typical fired up Harbaugh. I think he broke at least one headset today.
Classic. That would have been a good prop bet.
Classic Harbaugh. I would like that. That'd be a good one. An over under on Harbaugh headsets broken.
Since everyone lost the Aretha Franklin anthem one yesterday.
Yes.
Or on Thursday.
Right. Well, Harbaugh, I would set, I mean, can you imagine Harbaugh in a national title game with that sort of stress running through his veins? He'd break at least two headsets.
Easily.
And he's so out of it. He's in his own world. He breaks the headset today and then goes to try to put it back on and doesn't realize he had broken the headset. Classic Harbaugh. Quick high school football update for you. Loyola just scored a touchdown. That game's tied. There's still 8 minutes left in the first quarter, and there's been 14 points scored. A lot of offense, by the way. And I think it's just sort of a sign of the times because if you watch any of the powerhouse high school football teams, I mean, some of them run the old school veer option, triple option, things like that, but look at 1A. The winner put up 35, 2A, 35, 3A, 43-0, 4A, the winner put up 38. Peoria scored 62 points in the 5A game. 6A, Prairie Ridge scored 48. And East St. Louis, actually the lowest total for a winning team this weekend, 26 points, 26-13 over Plainfield North. But right now it's 7-7 between Loyola and Maine South in the 8A state title game down in Champaign. That's going to be a fun one to watch throughout.
And those were two big runs for Maine South. It was Fotis Kokosliulis who had the big 45-plus
nice
yard run. I know, I tried.
You. Well done.
And then Kyle Rock, a 56-yarder for Loyola. So really big-time runs to start out this game here. Not much defense, as you mentioned, showing up early in the 8A game.
It'll be fun. This is Preps Plus Chicago on WGN. We're sort of bouncing around here. We're giving you updates from Champaign and the state title games. We're talking a lot of college football, a lot to sort through. You just heard us talking about the college football playoffs and sort of implications that were going on today. Ohio State beat Michigan, and again, for like the 10th or 12th time, I will say that is one of the best college football games I've ever seen. Big win for the Northwestern Wildcats today. They take home the hat. They beat Illinois in Evanston, 42-21. It sounds like they could be headed to New York to play in Yankee Stadium in the Pinstripe Bowl or out to L.A. So they'll be East Coast or West Coast. You got to wait for all the conference championships to be complete before you find out which bowl you're in. But a great game. Justin Jackson, junior running back for the Cats, dominant. He's great to watch. Moved into second on Northwestern's all-time career rushing yard list, jumping ahead of Tyrell Sutton with 3,905 career yards. Damian Anderson, who played from 98 to 2001, all-time leader at 4,485. I think Jackson's got a pretty good shot at breaking that if he stays his senior year. He had 173 yards today and three touchdowns against the Illini. Joey Gelman, the producer, is a big U of I fan. Doesn't get bigger than that. Lovie Smith, your thoughts on his first year, and is he the right man? He says he's pretty confident in his coaching staff. I don't think there's going to be many changes there. What do you thought of the Fighting Illini year?
You know, I think he really didn't have much to work with this season. You had a lot of guys on this team from Tim Beckman and Bill Cubitt, and so Lovie really didn't have his guys there yet. The only guy he brought in was Hardy Nickerson Jr., who's his D coordinator's son, one of the bright spots on this season. So sure. I think Illini fans have to be patient and realize this is going to be a big-time rebuild, and you can't judge it off of this year. You'd like to see some signs of growth, but you have to wait until Lovie gets his guys to really see that come to fruition. It may be a couple of years of rough football, but we've kind of been used to that the past couple for Tim Beckman and Bill Cubitt's teams. But it's the idea of you have to build, and you have to realize that just like Harbaugh and Meyer are big names, Lovie Smith is still
a big name in a lot
of households.
When they hired him, that was a win for them.
Oh, yeah.
Another game that just wrapped not too long ago. Notre Dame lost again. They lost 45-27 to the rival USC Trojans. They finish off a 4-8 season. Horrific
wow.
year for Notre Dame. Is it time for Brian Kelly to go? He's got a whole mess on his hands. He really does. And I think he's losing the locker room a little bit. It was getting messy out there. I'm gonna put him on the spot here because I watched a few highlights of this and some dirty play from defensive lineman for the Irish, Jerry Tillery. He kicked USC's Aka Cedric Ware in the head just after Ware took a brain-scrambling helmet-to-helmet hit. He's lying on the ground. Gives him a little nudge, little kick, then proceeds to step on the ankle of an opponent later on in the game. That's the kind of stuff you see when you know a coach doesn't have the command of a locker room, doesn't have a command of his players, no discipline. It's a frustrated Notre Dame team. Now they've got an academic scandal on their hands. The NCAA wants them to vacate wins from 2011, 2012. Brian Kelly says he's not going anywhere. They asked him after the game. He says he plans to be back, but he says he does need to take a close look at his coaching staff. So we'll see what changes are made there. Brian Kelly may throw some of his staffers under the bus and keep his job, his nice high-paying job after that 4-8 win. I think a lot of the Irish fans are upset with this season, as they should be. It's not what you expect from Notre Dame. They lose 45-27 to USC. All right, we did a little high school, did a little college football. Now let's talk about the bad news Bears a little bit. Taking on the Titans Sunday. We'll talk about that after the news with CSN Chicago's Tony Andracki right here on 720 WGN. Party jams only from the Gelmanator tonight. I love it. You know whose walk-up music this was, right?
Yeah, Jason Hayward.
Jason Hayward. Jay Hay. This is Preps Plus Chicago on WGN. I'm Kevin Powell, in for Sam Panayotovich. Our final episode of the year, final show of the year, as the state playoffs wrap up tonight. Final game going on. Loyola, Maine South, down at Champaign. Games tied 7-7 in the first quarter. We'll give you updates throughout the show. We're on till 9. That's when I'll hand it off to Judd Surratt. He's got your Blackhawks pregame face-off at 9:30 here on your Blackhawks station, 720 WGN. You can follow me on Twitter at kpowell720. Shameless plug here. I'll be back later tonight, early tomorrow morning, however you want to phrase it. 2 to 5 a.m. I'll be on with Violetta Podramatic. If you don't know the name, she's the traffic reporter for the Ro Khan Show. I do sports with Ro. We're going to do overnights, 2 to 5, filling in for Dave Plyer. Thanks to Dave for letting us sit in for him. This is WGN Radio. We've talked some high school football. I did a little college stuff talking about maybe the greatest college football game ever. It's up there for me, at least what I've watched wire to wire from start to finish. That Ohio State-Michigan game was one of the best I've ever seen. It had it all. It had your stars, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh having a heart attack. Nearly having a heart attack on the sidelines, I should say. Nobody had an actual heart attack, at least as far as I know. But they looked like they were going to. Urban Meyer looked like he was just numb, just stressed out throughout the whole game. Jim Harbaugh doing his normal thing, breaking headsets, screaming at people, screaming at the officials. After the game, he ripped the referees. Couple questionable calls late in that game. Couple questionable calls, but it didn't feel cheapened to me, at least. I feel like you got your money's worth. That was an awesome game. Second and third ranked teams in the nation, Two of the biggest rivals. Two of the biggest rivals in all of football. That was fun. Did a little high school, did a little college. Let's move to the NFL. You guys excited about the Bears season? Two wins. Just awfulness all around. Feels sort of like a lost season. I don't know really how much was gained in any respect with this team. Figured I'd chat with our guy, Tony Andracki, a fellow Redbird, Illinois State, Fear the Bird. Tony works at CSN Chicago. And let me pop him on here. Tony, you there? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Tony, before we get to the Bears, I'm not sure if you saw this, but our Illinois State Redbirds bounced from the first round of the FCS playoffs today. Blew it in the fourth quarter.
I did see that, yeah. It was a 37-0 win or something their last game they played, and then this was just disappointing.
Heartbreaker in Conway, Arkansas. Illinois State losing to Central Arkansas today. Not good. They gave up 24 points in the fourth quarter. Their season's over. We still love the Redbirds. Tony, the Bears are really bad. I've sort of been saying this the past few weeks that, okay, you have two wins. Your team's really bad. Maybe you get a top draft pick. Okay, that's good. But I think the Bears sort of came into this season with kind of misguided expectations. Like, they never really just came out and said, we're going to be bad. This is a rebuilding year. And I think one of the things that demonstrates that is a perfect example is their backup quarterback was a veteran journeyman in Brian Hoyer, which to me, when you make that sort of signing behind Jay Cutler, that says, okay, if Jay Cutler gets hurt, Brian Hoyer can weather the storm a little bit. Maybe he can pick up a few wins for us and we can stay in this thing. What they should have done was drafted a quarterback that they could have developed if the season goes to hell like it has, if Jay Cutler gets hurt. To me, it feels like a lost season. Have you seen any glimmer of hope in this Bears roster, in this coaching staff? Any positivity that you can think of moving on to next year already?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are positives. I think we've seen some draft picks from Ryan Pace and his front office over the last couple of years. They're making an impact, you know. Even guys who weren't drafted, just as you mentioned, ISU, our boy Cam Meredith from the former Redbird. Yeah, he was an undrafted free agent, but he's been playing very well, maybe to the point where, you know, they aren't going to unload a big contract for Alshon Jeffery, knowing that they have him and Kevin White, who they liked a lot before he suffered another tough luck injury here. But yeah, I mean, there's other guys. Adrian Amos has played well. Eddie Goldman, you know, nice draft pick. Leonard Floyd now looks like he's actually was worthy of, even though it was somewhat of a reach, it looked like when the Bears took him ninth overall. Now
he's proven a lot of critics wrong. A lot of people thought he was too light to play in the league. They thought they wasted a top pick. The last month, really, he looked great. I'm just saying, it just seems like it's bad break after bad break. He's playing great. He's a bright spot. Next thing you know, he's sent to the hospital after that New York game. It's just nothing has gone their way.
That Leonard Floyd thing, that's a microcosm of the whole season, right? When he's doing well, you know, he gets hurt. Like you said, who knows if we'll ever even see him again this year. They may choose to play it safe with the record where it is right now. But, you know, I hope just as a football fan to get him back out there and see what he can do maybe in the final couple games this season.
Yeah, that's what they need. I mean, yeah, of course, health is the number one priority, but they need guys like that on the field getting better. I mean, that's what this whole year was about, and I just don't feel like there's been a ton of progress all in all, because even if there was some good individual play, they didn't really all have chances to play together, you know? So in that respect, it just feels kind of like a lost season. You mentioned Alshon Jeffery earlier. If you're Ryan Pace, what do you do with that situation in the offseason?
You know what? I don't know. I can't say enough about how that works in the contract negotiations. But, you know, if it was up to me, I would try to sign him for cheaper, given the, you know, PED suspension here. And Alshon had a rough year last year. I think, what, he only played 8 games or something last year. This year, you know, he was kind of banged up, having the worst statistical season of his career before he got suspended. So, I mean, either way, Alshon has cost himself millions of dollars. So if you're Pace, sure, yeah, you go out and you try to sign him for, you know, to an extension, or I'm sorry, just sign him as a free agent, basically, but to a much cheaper deal than you normally would. And then you have a pretty nice set of receiving corps. That being said, if he really chooses to price himself out of Chicago, I think they feel pretty good about where they're at with Kevin White, with Cam Meredith, you know, guys like Eddie Royal, who knows about Marcus Wilson, but, you know, I think they feel pretty good about their receiver corps, even if Alshon Jeffrey leaves.
I want to believe all that, Tony, but I don't know how you can feel so happy or excited about Kevin White, who's been nothing but injured over the last 2 years.
Yeah, but that's also, they've been kind of fluke injuries, you know, stress fracture last year, and they also, they played it safe. They were conservative with him last year. There's no need to rush him back in what was also a lost season. So, I totally get what you're saying. You know, he'll end the first 2 years in the NFL with like six games played total between the two seasons. So I get it, but, you know, I think they kind of look at it as more of a couple fluky injuries than anything. And at this point, I mean, how can you really shell out, even though the Bears have cap room, how do you shell out $15 million a year for Alshon Jeffrey or even $12 million based on the fact that he is improving it when he's healthy and now has this four-game suspension?
One thing I would say about Alshon Jeffrey, he is one of the best receivers in football when he's healthy, when he's not being suspended for PEDs. If you were to draft a quarterback, that's a nice big target, a nice warm blanket for a rookie quarterback to come in and have that kind of target. So I think that's sort of the argument you can make for keeping Alshon Jeffrey. The quarterback position, your thoughts on Jay Cutler, the time to move on.
Yeah, I think time for both parties to move on. I think, you know, I can't imagine Jay would ever say anything like that, but in his own head, I don't know why he wouldn't be thinking about that, you know, like get a fresh start, wherever it is that, you know, they might want him back to Denver. You know, who knows? Just wherever, a fresh start would be great for him. I think just that his time has come to an end here. I think Bears fans are done with him. Who knows what that clubhouse really is like or what the coaching staff really thinks of him. We've heard, you know, rumors and musings of a couple anonymous players saying that he lost the locker room and stuff like that. But, you know, just in general, it's been 8 years. He hasn't proven or taking the Bears to the promised land like everybody thought he was going to be. He statistically is the best quarterback in Bears franchise history, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of a weird to say that even, you know, given all the ups and downs that he's had here. So I definitely think it's time for both parties to move on. But who knows what's next? You know, the Bears haven't drafted a quarterback under Pace yet, so they don't even have one in the pipeline.
Which is mind-boggling to me. Because when Ryan Pace was brought in, he said ideally you can even draft a quarterback every year. And he hasn't drafted one yet. So then you're stuck in this position where you're in no man's land when you lose Jay Cutler. Once Cutler's hurt, you go, okay, well, there's really the season. I mean, as frustrating as Cutler's been for Bears fans, I think I've sort of been saying this the past couple of years. I think it is time to move on. It's a fresh time for a fresh start for both. I think Cutler got off to a really bad start here in Chicago 8 years ago. You know, dating back to that Packers NFC Championship game when people were questioning his toughness, blah, 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 all that. It's like, okay, Jay Cutler played that entire Giants game on Sunday. Just another example that he is one of the tougher quarterbacks in the league. He's had pretty bad offensive lines throughout his career here. But I think it is time to move on. I don't think there's a question there. But I've been sort of cautioning Bears fans. Just be careful what you wish for. Because remember, before the Jay Cutler era, you know, it's frustrating his play has been because you see greatness and then the next week it's garbage. You're like, what happened in a one-week span? But if you look at some of the quarterback play around the league, Tony, and I think you'd agree with this, there is some really bad, really horrific quarterback play throughout the league. So I think it's time to move on, but be careful what you wish for is what I would say to Bears fans.
Yeah, I mean, look at Ryan Fitzpatrick as another great example. He had an awesome year for the Jets last year. Everybody loved him in New York, and now this year, you know, they're calling for you know, Smith or whoever. So, yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. This year, in general, the NFL quarterback production has been down. The last few weeks, we're seeing it tick back up. Hopefully it continues that trend. But, you know, I think that if Brian Hoyer sticks around, regardless who the Bears draft at quarterback, if you get a guy like Hoyer to stay here and take some snaps and let the young guy, if you know, whether the Bears get a top five pick or not, let him, you know, carry the clipboard for a little while, get to experience NFL life, I think that'd be a great move. And then, I mean, I'm one of those guys. I'm all for Tony Romo coming here if that's something that he and the Bears both want. I think that'd be great for a year or two just to see what that's like.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been mentioning that. I wouldn't completely argue against that. It would be more of a holdover situation, but there are worse quarterbacks to learn from than Tony Romo. But Tony, appreciate you hopping on. Why don't you go ahead and plug your Twitter account for us?
Sure. It's at TonyAndracki23.
And you can read Tony's stuff at CSN Chicago. Thanks a bunch, Tony. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Tony. Tony Andracki, CSN Chicago, talking a little Bears. We started with high school football. We moved on to college football, did a little Bears. Now we're going to bounce back to some high school football. Talk to Mike Helfgott, Tribune Prep's coverage. He's down in Champaign. And the 8A title game going on right now. We'll give you an update from Champaign right after this on 720 WGN.
Chicagoland's only high school football scores, stats, and stories program. This is Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
Welcome back into Preps Plus Chicago. It's 8:52. Been bouncing around football. Ton of football to talk about today. We did sort of a Preps Plus slash just football show in general. We did a little college football, just talked some Bears with Tony Andracki of CSN Chicago. Now we go down to Champaign, where the final state championship game is being played. It's the 8A matchup everybody's been looking forward to, Loyola Maine South. And we are welcoming Mike Helfgott. He's sponsored by Lou Malnati's. Mike Helfgott, part of the Tribune Preps coverage team. Nobody knows high school football like Mike Helfgott. Mike, when I'm looking through these scores here of all the state championship games throughout the past couple days, scoring, scoring, scoring. Is that just sort of the sign of the times and the style of offenses that are being played in high school football now?
Yeah, I think by spreading the field, I think it makes it easier for big plays. I think we're seeing a lot of that. And, you know, it's the last couple of years down here, we've seen a lot of lopsided scores and a lot of high-scoring games.
Well, the game going on right now, Loyola, Maine South, and you had a good piece in the Tribune talking about the rivalry between these two teams, and I forgot about a lot of some of those classic games they've had. Can you just sort of talk about this rivalry that dates back quite a while now, and they've had some classic matchups specifically in the postseason?
Absolutely. Before Loyola, you know, really reached the level, you know, probably top program in the state where they're at now, they had a real hard time getting past Maine South in the playoffs early in John Hollisek's tenure here, 2008, 2009, 2010. Maine South won the 8A title all three of those years, beat Loyola in the playoffs all 3 years, twice in the semis. And the game I had mentioned, referenced in the story, was an absolute classic. Maine South scored two touchdowns within 9 seconds late in the game to come back from like down 9 or something like that. So, yeah, there's been a great rivalry. And, of course, this year, week two, Loyola beat Maine South 44-43. Maine South went for 2 in the win at the end, and that was the only difference in that game. And we've got a great one right now. It's 7-7. With about 5 minutes left in the second quarter, Loyola's Jake Marwee, their 240-pound tight end, Wildcat quarterback, just got stuffed twice, 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 down at the 10-yard line. Yeah, to take over. So we've got a real game here right now.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch. And the way it started, 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, I thought it was going to be another real high scoring, but things have sort of settled down, which you sort of expect from two really good teams and really two well-coached teams. Mike, before I let you go, I also want to get your thoughts. The game before this, East St. Louis beats Plainfield North, who was, of course, involved in the highly controversial final of their semifinal game against Fenwick. What were your thoughts on that whole situation? If anybody had missed it, I don't know how you could have, but the refs essentially blew some calls late in that game. They gave Plainfield North an untimed down. They kicked the field goal, sent it to overtime, ended up beating Fenwick in overtime and moving on to the state championships. They went to court with it. The court rejected the appeal. Plainfield North heads the state title game. Your thoughts on that entire situation, Mike? It was pretty wild the past week.
Yeah, as the IHSA's Matt Troha eloquently stated, there's really no winner in that situation. It was really unfortunate that it happened, really unfortunate for Fenwick, unfortunate that it went to court, unfortunate that Plainfield North had to talk about it after the game tonight. And, you know, for their part, they continued to take the high road and really didn't have much to say about the whole situation. But the whole situation was unfortunate, and kind of glad it's over, to be honest with you.
You feel for them. You really do. It was sort of a wild ride the past week for all parties involved. So, Mike, I just want to thank you a bunch for joining us throughout the season, Sam and I. Phenomenal coverage. Head to ChicagoTribune.com for more coverage from Mike Helfgott and the entire Preps Plus coverage team. But thanks for joining us, Mike. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's been a fun year. That's Mike Helfgott. Follow him on Twitter. At MHelfgott. He's your Tribune Preps lead man. Let's give you one more rundown of all the state title final scores. Forreston won the Class 1A 35-7. DMAC over Maroa Forsyth, 35-7. In 3A, IC Catholic completes the undefeated season. They won 43-0. Rochester back to state title winning ways over Johnsburg, 38-14. In 5A, Peoria put up a 62 spot. They beat Vernon Hill, 62-48. Prairie Ridge, just unstoppable this postseason, blowing teams out. They won 48-17. East St. Louis, again, as you just heard, over Plainfield North, 26-13 to take the 7A title. Right now in 8A, it's Maine South Loyola tied at 7 apiece, about 2.5 minutes remaining in the first half. Maine South threatening in Loyola territory at about the 12-yard line down in Champaign. This is Preps Plus Chicago. Really appreciate you guys listening throughout the year. We try to do our best to give you the scores, updates, all the storylines throughout the state. So thank you for tuning in. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back. Judd Surratt's got your Blackhawks pregame. Faceoff is at 9:30 tonight right here on 720 WGN. Well, we're about 60 seconds away from Blackhawks hockey. Judd Surratt's got your pregame. He'll hand it off to John Weideman and Troy Murray at 9:30 faceoff. Judd's coming up in just under a minute here. And thank you again for listening to Preps Plus Chicago throughout the season. Right now, the only game remaining is the 8A title game. That's between Maine South and Loyola, two of the best in the entire state. They're tied 7 apiece, just under 2 minutes remaining in the first half. We'll get you one more scoreboard update here. Again, Forreston winning in 1A, 35-7. DMAC in 2A, 35-7. That was actually a closer game than the score shows, but congrats to DMAC in 2A. 3A, IC Catholic wins. Rochester takes the 4A title. Vernon Hills, Peoria in 5A. 6A, it's Prairie Ridge. 7A, East St. Louis over Plainfield North. And again, Loyola and Maine South going at it right now in the 8A state title game down in Champaign. You can head to WGNradio.com if you missed anything on the show. Right now, though, it's time for Blackhawks hockey with Judd Surratt.